Please remember this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild and Bad, your Sunday night destination for salacious stories, passionate prose, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as midweek special, I'm doing another little excerpt from Lamb to the Slaughter. Now don't forget, you can go ahead and visit my website, wilddesires.com, and pre-order your copy of Lamb when it's ready in the new year. And I might even put in a special treat. Just because, well, you know, you were good enough to order early. So, as you know, this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Just put your earbuds in, loosen any clothing in case you want to enjoy the sensations on a deeper level. And as you take a nice deep breath and hold it for a count of 3, 2, 1, let it go with a sigh, letting all the stress of the week go. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous pleasure. Just let the sound of my voice drift over you and my words caress you as you enjoy chapter 11 of Lamb to the Slaughter. Chapter 11, Diane. The faces of children, well, young ladies and men, really, decorate the entrance hall to CNE Home for Children, full of hope, an achievement even I have to admit, that should be applauded given their histories. But this hypnosis nonsense, is he just brainwashing them, creating an army of teenage robots that all act together? They certainly don't talk like robots when I manage to hold a conversation with a couple of them as we wait in the drafty corridor. They seem as articulate as, well, any other children. Maybe Dominic really has created a solution for these kids, not to let my own beliefs detract from what is good for the children. I decide to keep my silence until I know more. I have to know more about this place, about him. One thing that has become clear in the past few days, my relationship with Judge Helland has come to an end. His utter hatred of Dominic and CNE will taint my work, and that will cost the children dearly. Of course, I seem to have rediscovered a passion inside of me, which has been missing for so long, and I cannot ignore the desire I feel right now, and there is no way that the Thursday night charade will satisfy that. I need to find that elsewhere. Something about earlier really unsettles me. I'd lost any resistance. He had taken control from me, something I hadn't experienced since being a child. But that wasn't the problem. I had given him that control and enjoyed it. Probably more than I had enjoyed any form of intimate play in my life. That is the problem. I have to know more about this man. Given that much, I need to believe I can trust him. A car pulls slowly up to the steps at the main doors, the driver immediately stepping out to open the rear door. Joseph Shawish appears, taller than I remember from the court hearing, but he still has that haunted look in his eyes. Suspicious, nervous, as if every breeze through the trees is a potential threat. He twitches up the steps rather than walking. "He seems very nervous, don't you agree, Ms. Hightower? We should put him at ease." Although only a whisper, that voice howls from the shadows behind me, immediately soaking my panties all over again. Is it some special hypnotist trick that makes his voice roar through my body? I think you're right, Mr. Delure. A little reassurance for him would be perfect just now. I whisper without turning, denying him the pleasure of knowing just how much lust I feel right now. Joseph, welcome. We have all been so excited about meeting you. CNE is now your home. We... His hands sweep in a wide arc, indicating the children lined up and down the corridor. Are your family? You have nothing to fear here. You are perfectly safe as long as you stay within the grounds of CNE. You look famished. We have laid out a special meal for you and all your new brothers and sisters. Surprise erupts in Joseph's eyes. A dampened reflection of the shock I feel at hearing Dominic speak. The tone in his voice is excited and playful, not even a suggestion of a growl. I can't believe it comes from the same man I was speaking to minutes before. As the driver drops his bags in reception, the other children crowd around Joseph as if he was a long-lost friend. For the first time since I've met Joseph, he smiles. A beautiful, radiant smile that genuinely warms my heart. The gaggle of children excitedly bubble down the corner, and all I can make out is the enthusiasm for their new sibling. The words melting into an amorphous mass of shrill sounds and laughter. I think he'll settle in just fine. Don't you, Miss Hightower? My heart thunders uncontrollably in my chest. His voice echoes in places it really shouldn't be able to, stirring emotions that have no right being stimulated by just the sound of a voice. Every valve burns into my core. Oh, I think he'll do very well. But you know, I intend to keep a very close eye on his progress with you. Very close. Speaking as flatly as I can. I refuse to offer even a hint of the desire burning in my body. Honestly, I would be disappointed if you didn't. These doors are always open to you, Miss Hightower. He says softly, and even though I understand the words he's just spoken, my God, I swear I can feel his voice through every inch of my body. We should talk, Mr. Delure. I respond with an icy tone. There are a couple of things I need to clarify with you. Of course. Shall we get the meal started and then we can clarify as much as we can in my office? Not sure if that is an agreement of a sensible discussion or some nuanced attempt to seduce me again. I decide to opt for the first choice. There is a nagging feeling of confusion whenever I am around this man, and it is beginning to get annoying. Chapter 12. As the door of Dominic's office swings shut, the unsettling feeling within me explodes into rage. What the fuck happened earlier? What did you do to me? I gave control over to a man I barely know, and I need answers. Nothing happened that you didn't want, Ms. Hightower. He says with a bitter coldness to his tone. We are both adults, and you want answers, which I want to give you. Do you mind if I'm blunt with you to save any confusion? His voice bleeds arousal and the promise of pleasure, but also rings calm even in the face of a full-on Diane Hightower outrage. Does nothing anger this man? Please, a little blunt honesty would be good. I say and mean it, hoping he picks up on the emphasis on honesty. You might not like everything I'm going to say. You'll probably disagree with lots of it. But I'm sure if you listen and give yourself time to think about it, you'll realize it's the truth. Fire away, I'll listen. My stern tone welcomes whatever rubbish he may spew, so I may tear it apart. Yet knowing I am in no mental state to do that right now. I am an extremely good judge of people. I can tell a lot about people that they may not realize themselves. Even if they do, they'd probably rather I didn't know. When you walked into the room, I could sense your arousal. It was, in all honesty, very intoxicating. I noticed during our conversation that it grew. At several points you were very close to orgasm, but you denied yourself. That is an act of your conscious mind. The now familiar pulsing grows. God, I hope this isn't too long an explanation, as I'm not sure I can control it much longer. When you went into hypnotic trance, the restrictions of your conscious mind were gone, and your instincts took over. When I passed you the bookmark, it was a reminder of your time in my library, and your body responded as it would. You were already holding the bookmark, ready to spank your clit as I mentioned it. The metal thorns, I improvised, seeing the pleasure you enjoy from pain. But I ensured they only grew at a rate that was right for you. My clit throbs intensely at the memory of the library, being caught self-pleasuring, being watched. I'd never realized it before, but God, that is one of my new fantasies. Hot desire drips down my thighs. Call me a liar if you wish, but I know that this is what your body wanted from the second you stepped into my office. It did then. It does now. If I'm wrong, tell me. Shock freezes my mind. I struggle to find the words to deny him, to lie. How do you know? I fire back, hoping an aggressive stance will dissipate whatever effect he is having on me. I'm not going to lie to you, Ms. Hightower. I'm not 100% sure. I just know. I have been able to read people since I was a young boy. Maybe it's a survival instinct, or perhaps just a keen sense of smell. His voice so calm and matter-of-fact, as if he was telling me the weather forecast. His eyes suddenly change, their whites glowing, intensifying the crystal-clear blue that penetrates my soul. As I know you're on the verge of coming right now. Jeez, his words burn inside me. Heat radiates up my leg into my belly, teasing my clit. God help me, they spank my ass so hard it stings. Transfixed by the motion of his lips, urging every word out, I'm waiting, wanting, wanton. His lips move, yet I can't hear the words. I can only feel the sensation of their animalistic lust fucking me. Every inch of me longs for the next sensual sound to drip from his beautiful mouth. But you will hold your orgasm, he says icily, until I say you can come. Then you can come, and not before. Jesus, it would help if he would stop saying come all the time. I can't concentrate when he says that. Shit, I can't concentrate on anything this man says. Do you agree? I nod, desperate for satisfaction, for this pleasure aching inside to be unleashed. Say it, Miss Hightower. Yes, I say in a faint whisper, not sure if I'm doing the right thing. Not sure if I'm going to regret what comes next. Not sure of a damn thing. Yes, what? He snaps angrily. His hands flashes between my thighs and pinches my clit hard through my panties. My knees buckle from the intense weight of the sensation flooding my body. Yes, sir. My eyes refuse to move from his lips, and I don't know why or how he holds this kind of sway over me. But he does in some strange, eerie kind of way. Every word he speaks takes me closer to where I need to be, in ways no other man ever has. Good girl. Two fingers slide around my clit, trapping it, and my pussy tightens as the vicious flick of a nail sends shocks of electricity pulsing through my core, stinging, aching, salacious pulses of powerful energy. A wave of disorientation weighs over me as his head moves towards my neck, and I lose sight of his lips. An avalanche of sensations follows as his leather mask caresses my cheek. The warmth of his breath, hot against my ear. his silken beard teasing my skin. His fingers thrusting deep into my pussy. My body convulses, the threat of an orgasm thundering inside as his fingers go straight to that spot, pushing me beyond hope of reason. Dampness soaks my thighs, my body clutching as I buckle under the weight of pleasure. He pulls my face into his shoulder, supporting me, and his cologne engulfs me, every breath spreading that warm fragrance through my body, heightening the sensations further, and so deeply that it rattles my teeth. "Hold it, kitten," he says softly. "I promise you it will be worthwhile." With the focus of his lips, a mist of dizziness engulfs me. Lost and confused, the sensation flooding down my body, swamping me completely. Fuck, how is this happening? My pussy clutches around his fingers, his thumb, hard and unforgiving, massages my clit. "Just a moment longer." His intimate whispers make my orgasm his own, every sound claiming what has always been his. I swallow hard, panting in desperation as the hot swirling in my core contracts into a top point. "I can't, I'm coming." Bending double as a flood of ecstasy explodes through my body. My fingers clutch at his arms, desperate for support. My moans only seem to fuel my orgasm, accelerating it through my body. I surrender completely. His strength the only reason I am anywhere near upright. "Oh dear, kitten, we better try a different approach next time." Desperately climbing up his body. Inch by desperate inch, my fingers drag my spent carcass up, needing to look into his eyes, to kiss him, to feel his warmth. His fingers still damp from my pussy, push through my hair, holding my face as he looks into my eyes. His arctic gaze melts me further still, surrendering beyond repair, beyond hope, beyond redemption. Good girls get a kiss. "Unfortunately, you haven't been good today, kitten. But you will learn." The silky softness of his beard brushes my trembling skin as he tips my head forward and places the most gentle kiss on my brow, spilling a warmth over me and a soft glow that kisses every cell of my trembling body. As he eases me back onto the all-too-familiar chaise lounge, his son firmly but sensuously caresses my temple. "I want you to listen, kitten. That is the last time you will orgasm in these walls. From now on, we will keep this to my home. When you are here, we will be discussing business and nothing else. For the sake of the kids, we need to keep this separate." His voice is strong and paternal. One of us has to be sensible, and it sure as hell isn't going to be me. Confused by this sudden sense of responsibility, while exhausted from the most intense orgasm of my life, it's all I can do to muster the strength to nod weakly. He is right, I know it. But right now, all I can think of is resting to recuperate some of my strength. He places a cushion under my head and a thick blanket over me, and then sits down beside me. Somehow, although the pull of sleep is closing my eyes, I am completely aware that he is watching me. His fingers caress my hair, gently stroking my cheek. "Sleep now, kitten," he says softly. "Everything will be just fine." His lips brush my forehead, and for a second and then a third time, the warmth of his breath kisses my cheek, forcing me to surrender to the satisfied wave of tiredness waiting to float over me. Everything fades as I drift into sleep. Everything apart from the gentle whispers of his voice, carrying me deeper into slumber, following me into my dreams. So, I hope you've enjoyed that. Now, the story episode this week is not on Sunday, though it will be there on Sunday, but it will actually be published tomorrow, Christmas Eve. I'm doing a Christmas Eve special. As it's Christmas and all, you know, get festive, even if it is kinky. And it is kinky. So, please join me tomorrow night. That's Christmas Eve. what you can hear. I'm calling it Santa Baby. But, you know, there's nothing baby about it. You know that. Come on. So until tomorrow, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.